AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
You are now listening to Waiting on Reparations, a production of iHeartRadio. Yo, yo, yo!
What's good, my people?
I am Dope Knife.
I am extremely tired.
And we also are... We've been waiting too goddamn long for reparations.
I'm about to get my ass out of City Hall, bro. What?
All right, so let's just pick it up and get right into it. So we've been really good, as our executive producer has been getting us to be a lot more prompt when we're recording these. But we have gone back to our bullshit, and we are on one of those late night sessions. And drinking got out of City Hall.
IPA. I don't even like these.
I just got out of a Christmas party from the day job. I got a few in me. I'm feeling good. All right. So tell us about the City Hall meeting that kept you so late.
Bro, so I just got home from City Hall. It was our last voting meeting of the year. And there were several contentious issues on the agenda. For a year, we've been working on an eviction defense program to keep people from getting kicked out of their house or they lost their job or got sick because of COVID, et cetera. We finally passed it tonight. But interestingly, like DCA, the Department of Community Affairs of Georgia, like they've started, you know, giving out millions of dollars to communities that had a program like this already.
Yeah.
And we didn't for various reasons. Mostly
for obvious reasons.
For obvious reasons. People have been stalling it. And so I am so thankful that finally, you know, all these families that, you know, been hitting me up like, yeah. Yo, I'm living in the back of the U-Haul, whatever, like, what we gonna do, can get some help. It's unfortunate that it's so late, but that happened tonight. We approved a contract and funding for a safe place for a homeless folk to sleep.
So how long exactly have you been working on it?
Bruh, so eviction prevention, literally probably a year to the day.
Shit.
A year to, in the programs like this existed in Gwinnett County.
Yeah, because I mean, we were talking about eviction moratoriums like a year ago and
oh,
shit.
Yeah. We still had it. Yeah, no, so finally. And then and it speaks as well. I mean, yes, people stalled it and that was very unfortunate. But in general, like the timescales in which we have to understand like policy unfolds are so long. Like just generally, the gears of government just churn so slowly. Like a year to pull off a program is like a very modest amount of time, frankly.
Well, I don't want to get like too into the weeds with
it. Let's go.
Like that. But like, okay, so just I mean, anybody who's a regular listener to the show, they will have heard they will know how often you're in City Hall. Obviously, you're an elected official, so they know that like you've been working on this. For a year, like you just said it. So what is it exactly? You know, if you guys are meeting up so much, right?
Yeah.
and y'all are discussing these things and these issues, what is it exactly that makes a project like this take a year to do?
Yeah.
like is it, and I don't want to characterize this in the unfair way or whatever, but it's like, is the progress that's made from day to day and meeting to meeting, is it like that small or that minute of a thing that it takes that duration of time, or do things get snagged up and just in the sauce or what?
So yeah, I'll say two things about that. Firstly, like a lot of our trouble in particularly implementing innovative solutions, things like fare free public transportation or like a safe place for homeless people to sleep, where they won't be criminalized for living outdoors. Yeah. Like we have to do two things. We have to, oftentimes if we're dealing with federal funding, they have so many hurdles that we have to jump through in order to ensure compliance. Who's your accountant? Who you getting insurance from? What's your, you know, line of credit? What's your background in doing this? All this stuff that just, like, if you chop up all those little parts, each take like a week to work through. And so you're looking at weeks and weeks and weeks.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there's that to it. And I guess to a degree to your second question, yeah, ultimately, like, because we move in such slow motion, you know, you can see all the, like, you know, slow motion rainstorm, you see all the individual droplets, like, as they hit the ground. And that's kind of like, those little individual droplets are what we traffic in. It's like, so, okay, let's push this forward a little bit, and over time, it adds up. I brought up fare free public transportation. People have been fighting for that for 10 years.
Yeah.
And we just did it. And so it's just like all the little droplets, slow motion smashing on the ground. And finally, like, you can see, like, the time speeds up and finally see, like, oh, snap, it's raining. What's up?
So then I'm going to ask this, and I kind of already know what your answer is going to be.
Yeah.
But all right. So if, like, the average person is looking at this and they're thinking, man, this is taking too long. These people are just full of shit. They just need to hurry up and do these things. You being on the inside and seeing the way this goes down, does it give you more of an understanding of like, no, I understand why it takes this long? Or are you on the same line of, no, this is bullshit, this should be going faster?
I mean, part of me is like, yo, this is bullshit, like, this should be going faster. There is a part in which, like, you die a hero or you live long enough to become the villain. Where, like, I find myself being like, but wait, you guys, I promise we're working on it. And, like, defending the government, which, like, the activist in me, like, my heart just tears into tiny, tiny pieces every time I have to do that.
But that's real shit, though. I mean, I don't even want to say that's real shit, but, I mean, is it? Is it real shit? Is it, like, the activist part of you wants to be like, nah, but the politician part is like, nah, there's kind of a reason why it's...
And it's really hard to, like, moderate that, because I gotta, like, stand up for the people and be like, you're right, this is bullshit, and like yell at, but like staff, they're like trying their hardest, they don't know what to do, and I don't, does it help if you yell at them? They're gonna just freak out more and do it worse. And so there's also, like, you know, trying to have grace for them, trying to convey to the public why things take too long. And there's something else I want to say on your first part, why stuff takes so long. Because, you know, the homeless safe site is being run by like a Black nonprofit that's very grassroots, very just like in the thick of it, no paperwork, no, like, they just kind of flying by the seat of their pants. But, like, start of the pandemic, when everybody was scared to hug each other, they were going out into the forest to bring hot plates of food.
I remember,
To the homeless people. You remember when I went out there with them, maybe, and, like, brought the plates and we sat up there? Yeah. And so, like, when you're working with an organization that historically has not hasn't worked with Black people, you know, when these organizations have not had the resources or the institutional support to do large scale work, there's going to be like intercultural communication problems. Like, it's not like malice that like our staff doesn't know how to communicate to these people, or these people don't know how to communicate to staff. It's just like no one has had to before. It's naivety almost, rather than like maliciousness. And so that's why stuff takes so long. When you try to like, all right, we finally go smash down the doors and get some Black people in here, get some money to like do this work, it's going to take a long time because we have never done that before. I don't know how. So yes, that's another reason why things take long. But
okay, so if it took long, but
we did it.
It got done.
But you know what I mean? this is not even the only thing. But yeah, so.
Oh wait, there's more.
So Safe Site got passed. Eviction Defense Program got passed. So we also were asked to reapprove federal funding for the Northeast Georgia Regional Narcotics Task Force, which I, for year after year, I've been critical Shit. Of and I voted for. And then last year, I put an amendment to, all right, to sell podcasts for weed, da da da. And this year, I was like, no, what? Fuck it. Nope. I ain't doing this no more. So I published an op-ed a couple days ago. You can go, you can, if you search me on like social media, I'm Mariah for Athens, you can go find it and read it. It was very spicy. Very spicy. Talking about the history of this grant and its deleterious effects on Black communities and some public health solutions that are better.
Yeah.
Including, so one of the spicier things about it
How'd it go?
So one of the spicier things about it is like, I took it all the way back to the source. Like, where does the grant come from? Where does drug war come from? And I referenced in 1981, Lee Atwater, famous Republican strategist working under Ronald Reagan, said, you remember this shit? Yes. Mm-hmm. So he was like, in 1954, you say nigger, nigger, nigger. But 1968, you can't say nigger anymore. So you say...
It was Nixon, not Reagan.
Oh, well, nobody knows. Yeah, okay. Yeah, but, Nixon, Reagan.
Yeah.
same shit, different day.
He pretty much spilled the beans on the Southern strategy that the Republicans employed. So, it's a famous recording. As a matter of fact, if I can find a...
Find it, play it.
If I can find a non-copywritten, we'll play it on it. But he pretty much runs down how esoteric that the Republican Party got with the racism, you know what I mean? But expresses such a deliberateness behind it that is
So this is where the strategies like the drug war came from, because you can't say nigger, nigger, nigger anymore. You have to say, we got to get tough on crime and catch criminals. So I went into it. I laid out the facts for these motherfuckers, criminology, public health, reason why this is all bullshit. We need to do things a new way. Well, police chief wasn't too happy about that. sent me like a 5-page rebuttal earlier today. He was big mad, just lost it. Apparently his feelings were real hurt. A local journalist called his response extraordinary, if not unprecedented. So anyway, I went off on these motherfuckers like, yo, this is what's really, really real right now. So like y'all gonna mindlessly perpetuate Reagan's legacy? Y'all gonna take Lee Atwater's advice? Like, what's good? What's popping?
You know what is funny? Just you mentioning that, but like something that I just feel didn't get enough press. But you recall that about a year ago they uncovered some Reagan tapes of him having a conversation with somebody.
I don't want to meet with like the leaders of these African countries.
Yo, nigga said dirty feet.
Something like that. Don't quote me. It was something about their feet.
I know what you mean. It was some stereotypical, it was like some beyond plausible deniability shit. And I just felt like that kind of went under the radar. So, just something.
I feel like they pulled out tapes left and right, left and right, left and right. I know Bill Clinton has now been implicated in the Ghislaine Maxwell trial for maybe like doing some shit with some underage kids, which I don't find surprising. Pulling the receipts, all the receipts.
Trump is trying to start a constitutional crisis so nobody can find the fucking log records of anything that was said during his time in the White. Can you imagine? I mean, I think we said something about this in the last episode, but can you imagine how many niggas was flying around people's mouths in the Trump White House? Like, for real? Like, you telling me the Steve Bannon wasn't throwing around the N-word? Word. All right. So what are you talking about today?
Well, okay.
I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's okay. We were just riffing and shit, which, you're talking about Trump and a constitutional crisis. Made me think about Matt Gaetz coming out today saying if the GOP wins the House back in 2022, they're going to try to put Trump in as Speaker of the House. Mm-hmm. Bruh.
I don't know how much I buy that, but I think we can just take that as like... As validation that they're gonna do all sorts of crazy shit.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say when they win the House back.
Yeah.
I wanna say if, but you know.
Which brings us to our topic to today. So last week we had runoff elections in municipal races across Georgia. and results were pretty good for progressives. And so, and then we also had Stacey Abrams announced for governor for the Democratic Party. David Perdue, former senator of Georgia, announced for governor on the Republican side. And so we're going to talk about what happened last week, as well as what might go down in 2022. Just looking at, like, you know, what do these results mean for the year to come, if anything, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to get into all that after the jump. But first, I need to hear about this Christmas party. Some shit went down, sir. I can tell you had a gleam in your eye.
All right. So, okay. So, like, you know, I do this podcast and I rap. And that's, you know, more or less, for the most part, how a brother makes the bills. But let's keep it real. You know, a nigga got to get a regular J-O-B. So at the J-O-B, we had this Christmas party. And, you know, the jig is up and the word is out. Oh, man. Do you guys know that Mac raps? I heard that Mac's a really good rapper. Like, that shit's going on, right? Mm-hmm. So we have the Christmas party. The bosses are like, hey, do you want to, you know, we're like, first of all, they like broke it up into pieces. Like, somebody who's there's a girl there who does stand-up comedy, and she did like a roast of everybody. It was pretty funny. They had like a magician come in, and he did like some David Blaine magic tricks that I gotta say.
He cut a girl in half? What happened?
He didn't cut a girl in half, but he was doing some pulling a bowling ball out of like a paper thin briefcase type shit. Like, but I was standing like 2 feet from him and seeing it. So as far as I'm concerned, nigga's a wizard. You know what I mean? Like, it was that crazy.
You did say you had a couple drinks and maybe something else in your system.
This was before the drinks. No, but the magic tricks was before the drinks.
A bowling ball out of a briefcase, sir? I don't know.
You know what? I got that shit on video. Y'all check on our Instagram.
All right,
we'll post on the gram
for y'all.
But, yeah, you know, like, we had been talking for the last few months. They're like, hey, we want you to do some kind of, because they went to that Afro Man show that I did, the owners, and they were like, hey, we want you to do kind of a little rap thing for them. So, you know, I went there thinking it was just all good. I started knocking some back, thinking I was just going to chill there for a couple hours and then head back here to record. And they, like, straight up snuck a PA system up on me with a bunch of Pete Rock beats. like Ben, you know what I mean? Like, yo, they're like, yo, do you want to go in? I was like,
I'm just picturing them like rolling it out on like a little thing while you're not looking, just like really quietly. I'm telling them, like, sneak it up behind you with the PA.
It's pretty much what it was. So, like, at first I was like nervous, like, oh, is there some like corny Christmas thing y'all want me to do? And they're like, no, just do you, you know what I mean? So I freestyled. I did Who Got the Props. I did some games. And it just all felt really warm, like co-workery, you know what I'm saying? But I gotta say, the payday was pretty good.
The payday was pretty.
They was, you know, that was like when you do those like university shows or like the shows.
Oh,
for
yeah.
It was one of them sort of shows where you're like, yeah, that was dope. So I'm feeling good.
But excellent.
We're going to get into all the stuff about the Georgia progressives fucking wrecking shit. And we'll be right back with that after the jump.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. So per the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the story of the Metro runoffs goes beyond the fact that a string of incumbents were ousted. If you look closer, you'll find that many of the winners were backed by the Georgia Working Families Party. Now, that's a local chapter of a relatively new National Progressive Party based in Brooklyn, New York. Three of the newly elected city council members. Why don't you go ahead and say those names?
Yeah, we got Liliana Bakhtiari. We got Antonio Lewis. We got Jason Dozier, who respectively, Liliana is Iranian-American, non-binary, queer individual. Antonio Lewis, you know, reps hard for, you know, Cleveland Avenue, very well supported by like the labor movement. And then we got Jason Dozier, who is a military vet, quote unquote progressive, you know, he's a pretty progressive guy, you know, longtime activist in the like Mechanicsville kind of area of Atlanta.
And then who's last?
Who's last? Oh, is it another one? Oh,
can't forget about our homie.
I can't forget about my homie. So, most exciting to me, Khalid Kamayo, my boy, city councilman in South Fulton, Democratic Socialist, and Democratic Socialist, and openly gay, openly queer individual, won the mayorship. Is going to be the mayor of the blackest city in America. It's like 98% black, South Fulton. 98% black. And he won. And I think it really, so I think all of this, there's very interesting implications for what this means about the state of politics, where the electorate is at in Georgia. But I think this in particular, if we may take a moment to break it down, you know, he may not have run on explicitly like defund the police like platform, but you know, he was repping that life. You know, he a lot of, you know, his democratic socialist ideas, couching those ideas in vernacular people understand about like supporting youth entrepreneurship and small businesses and more land ownership for the people. But like the fact that he was like a progressive, perhaps even a radical, you know, queer black man. Yeah. It's like, you know, people try to say, oh, black people aren't down for that kind of shit. They're not like, you know, radicalism of the 60s is over. But like he's proved that that ain't.
Is that what people are saying?
I don't know. What do you think people are saying about where the black electorate is at?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not even going to front. I don't know. I don't really have a sense of like what they're saying. You know what I mean?
Well, here's what I get often. I get a lot of people that, I mean, to their credit, you know, see that I got like fucking advanced degrees or whatever, you know, I'm very articulate Negro, et cetera, et cetera. And so I have like black people, like it's the black establishment oftentimes saying, I don't know what I talk about when I'm talking about radical shit. Cause like, oh, you are, you know, like cause I'm whiteified by the fact that I've gone to school a great deal and I talk a certain way, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But these radical ideas, deals, though they generated in the black community, you know, Fred Hampton, Huey Newton, Angela Davis, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King Jr., like, oh, but, you know, it's the white left that's all about all that shit. And we don't really like that shit around here, is what, you know, people try to say sometimes when it's like, nah, bruh, the spirit of the 60s is alive today.
Do you have a sense of why? Do you have a sense of why that is? Because, I mean, you saying that, like, yes, I get that same sense. But I mean, why is that? I don't understand why, like, in these times we would be, maybe radical's not the right word for it, but why in the times that we're in now that we would be, like, less attentive to what's going on?
Yeah, and I think what I'm about to say has implications for Atlanta, if we want to, like, segue back into what we're talking about. But, like, I think it honestly is, like, you trust who shows up. Ultimately, you trust who shows up. So like if, you know, the black bloc of the electorate is treated as a foregone conclusion, we're going to vote Democrat. People don't invest a lot of money in coming out to talk to us because they assume we're going to vote for Biden, assume we're going to vote for Obama, assume we left Kamala Harris and all the shit. And that is then leaving ground for, you know, Republicans to come in. Let's take, for example, like, you know, a parallel example, like Bernie Sanders got 70% of the Latino vote. And it's not even necessarily because his ideas were like where they were in terms of the stuff they were even asked for. It's that his people showed up in their communities to knock on their doors, talk to them in Spanish, make sure their materials were in Spanish. And they were like, I like this guy. They showed up. I'm with that. And so bringing it back around to Atlanta, I think that, you know, Khalid and some of these other progressives that won the city council with the backing of the Working Families Party, who, as you said, put like six figures into these races, resource them well enough to show up, to go out and knock on the doors, to go out and have the conversations, et cetera, that, you know, brought victory. So, I mean, I don't think it matters what kind of ideas you have. You got to show up and talk to people. So that's what they did, I presume, and that's why they won. But let's see, what else we got? These notes are like pretty.
So what were the main issues in that mayoral?
So mayoral city council campaigns, and I feel like this was mostly media driven. People in the community were probably concerned about crime. Crime was the number one issue, but that itself is stoked by the media. I mean, yes, people are victimized. People get their cars jacked or hear gunshots. It's like, I'm scared. Legit, valid, feel the same. But, you know, other people who don't actually experience crime, but fear victimization, fear it because they see on the news about the carjackings. They see on the news about shootings and about, you know, police, you know, walking off the job, doing the blue flu and going on strike and shit. And they're like, oh no, what are we gonna do? Number one issue, probably because of the media, but anyway.
I mean, just as a devil's advocate, I think I would add the caveat to that, that because of local media, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I as somebody who just consumes probably way too much cable national news than a healthy person should, it's very much like when it's referenced in national media, it's very much referenced like in a sort of a meta way, acknowledging that they're referencing these numbers. You know what I mean? So I would imagine, just because I don't watch a lot of local news, I would imagine, especially since some of these right-wing companies have bought up a lot of these local news stations, I would imagine that the local news in a lot of towns is a fucking horror show.
It is. I mean, it is very influential. There's very influential local Instagram accounts.
Yeah.
That like, it's like World Star, but they post videos of like, yeah, black.
It's like World Star for old white people.
Yeah, straight up. You know what I'm saying? They're like, oh, look at these animals fighting each other, and they get, you know, tens of thousands of views. A counter example is that, so in the mayoral race, you had Andre Dickens and Felicia Moore. Felicia Moore was the city council president. So Andre Dickens won in the runoff. He's going to be the next mayor of Atlanta. But Felicia Moore, who lost, accused rapper T.I. and producer Isaac Hayes III of tanking her chances at winning by spreading false claims that she was going to shut down strip clubs. And this and that, and like they said that in interviews with local gossip magazines. And so the local gossip magazines picked up and they started saying, oh, Felicia Moore wants to shut down the strip clubs. And I don't know, I don't think that's really true, but she was even saying that that's the reason she lost.
I mean, who would they have been helping by messing up her shit? Somebody establishment or
no? So let's be
just
clear.
A straight up bar.
So I mean, both of the mayoral candidates, including the winner, the candidates they made to the runoff were pretty pro police. Andre Dickens did vote for the Rayshard Brooks bill, which was a bill that came forward last summer that was to withhold half the police budget until they did certain reforms. It wasn't even to defund them. It was just like, let's not give them all their money right now until they do some shit. So he was getting hammered about that by like the right and people. And so he came out saying like, oh, I've I've increased the police budget every year. I'm going to hire more officers. And both of them were very pro, you know, pro cop. So I can't remember where I was going with that. I got too into my feelings.
No, I mean, I'm like, okay. Because I mean,
who was to benefit?
Like, yeah,
I don't know. I don't know who's to benefit. That's why it's so ridiculous. Like,
because it's just like,
sure you lost because you aren't good. I don't know.
I just don't think that, and this might be just like me getting more cynical, but I'm not really feeling that things are coincidences or accidents like that a lot. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to give heads the benefit of the doubt of like, yo, they're stupid, especially people who I don't think are stupid. I don't think T.I. is stupid. You know what I mean? I don't think T.I. is stupid at all.
I think T.I. is kind of dumb.
I don't know. Bruh, I don't know. I don't think T.I.
Check his daughter's junk for years to make sure
that,
she was a virgin?
Like T.I. being a creep.
So, okay. So T.I. is
West Side
not
Crips.
Dumb. He is a creep.
Okay, there you go. Yes, yes.
Okay, fine.
But when I say not dumb, I just mean in the sense of like whether that had an effect on her election or not. I just don't see the act of him doing that in an election season, knowing that he at the bare minimum has the intelligence level that I believe him to have, as being just a coincidence. You know what I mean? Oh, I was just, you know, I was just getting interviewed and someone asked me a question, so I commented on this thing. You know what I mean? I don't know if that's going to make anybody vote for anybody or make anybody not vote for a motherfucker, but like that's going to affect perception and public perception saying stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like
that. Oh, yeah.
It's not true, it's one thing if it's true, but if it's not true, like if you just made that up, that's whack, yo.
Oh, no. I don't know why you said it, but that's fine. So, okay. So let's go back to...
Okay. Sorry.
So, like, yeah. So the coalitions. I talked a little bit about Andre Dickens being, like, his pro-cop stuff. So Felicia Moore started kind of, like, colluding with, like, Republicans and, like, racist white people that live in the really rich part of the city. A part of the city, Buckhead, that is trying to secede from Atlanta. Because they got it, like, something like... Like, you can't geographically distance yourself from the black people, so at least...
They would literally just have to be like, we're not y'all anymore.
We're not y'all anymore. Yeah, so she started, like, going to the Republican meetings in, like, Buckhead and getting their endorsement. They were sending out texts for her. She even posted, like, a thing on Twitter, like, you know, talking about Ahmaud Arbery's trial and how it's not real justice and it should never happen. She took it down. She got dragged by right-wing people on Twitter, and she took it down.
What? Wait, so is she like a... What is she?
So her whole coalition was like, oh, I'm gonna, like, no one else of the remaining candidates is, like, reaching out to this, like, wealthy white part of the electorate, you know, so I'm gonna fill up that space, and that's how I'm gonna win.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah. I mean, feel you.
Yeah. But frankly, she... was a front runner pretty much before the runoff.
Yeah.
Because everybody voted for her to keep out Kasim Reed. You know about this nigga?
Mm-mm.
Kasim Reed was the old president of Atlanta. We're seceding. We're from Georgia. We are in the state of Atlanta. So he was an old mayor. I don't know, like maybe before Keisha Lance Bottoms, current mayor. Okay. Hella corrupt. Mad federal corruption.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. I know who you're talking about.
Whole administration. Super
greasy,
grimy. Why did
you say hella corrupt? Ring the bell.
Hella corrupt, like mad, sketchy, greasy, grimy, bad shit. Real bad. And so everybody voted for Felicia Moore to keep him from winning because he is the black Trump. And then... they were like, oh, actually, I don't like this bitch. This ain't it. Like, nah, now that Kasim Reed isn't in there anymore, and we ain't got to worry about his greasy ass. Actually, this other cat, like slim nigga wearing like blazers and hood situation. They're like, oh, we'll go for him. Anyway, so the mayoral race differed a lot from the city council races in that everywhere else, you know, except for mayor, all the super pro-cop candidates got bounced.
Damn.
Bounced. So there
so
was...
So is it...
Yeah.
Do you have any theories for why, like, the crime awareness message didn't land, or I mean, I don't even want to say that because the progressive one that it didn't land, but is there like what became of that message or that message?
So I will answer that question with a question, because I regularly say conflicting things about this. I think too, on one hand, that people are more motivated by love than fear. Like if you're not putting forward a positive, constructive vision of a city that you want, and you're just fear mongering and talking about how shitty everything is, like people are just kind of like grossed out and turned off by that. I also disagree with that in that, you know, when we talk about the midterms in a second, the angrier people are the ones that are more motivated to get out and win. So I don't know. I'm gonna throw that back to you to ask. I don't know which one you think is more like legit, but I think this actually speaks to what I said at the beginning, is like who mobilizes versus who just coasts on their name recognition in their incumbency. Like, but I'm in this bitch, I'm good, what's up? Y'all know me, I've been in this bitch for 20 years. Yeah, I ain't going nowhere. Versus the people who are like humble and like, I'm gonna put in the footwork to get in there. You know, footwork wins.
Yeah.
It's probably more true. But what do you think about that earlier thing? Do you think people are more motivated electorally by fear or love?
Like, I want to say love because or that not sounds love, like but the like right
hope,
thing.
You know?
Yeah, like, I want to say hope and change and love and all that stuff because it feels like the right thing to say. But I think
we got Obama, you know?
Yeah. But I mean, we got Obama. There was fear involved in Obama. You know what I'm saying? Again, I hate to pull out my like old man pants and shit like that, but I have a few years on you. And you know what I'm saying? And like, I mean, there was like a fear because we had just went through the 8 years of Bush and fucking McCain was fucking bringing on Sarah Palin. You know what I mean? And it's like, she was Trump before Trump was Trump. You know what I'm saying?
Okay,
people were seeing that and they were hearing the things that she was saying. And then because she was on the ticket, started making John McCain, who obviously John McCain's a Republican, is terrible, whatever, whatever. But he started saying stupid, insane shit. Like as a result of having Sarah Palin on the ticket, like I remember one thing that stuck out really close is just because like I had friends who were fighting in the war and all that stuff. That I remember he was John McCain was at a rally or something like that after Sarah Palin had been brought on, and he was like singing to the crowd. He was making some point in the crowd, and he was like doing the Beach Boys song. And he was like, bomb, 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 Iran. And they were like all laughing about it and shit. And I remember being like, what? I was like, maybe like 22, 21 or something like that at the time. It's like, yo, these fucking Republicans are trying to make us go to war forever. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that fear, that palpable fear was like, hey, hope and change. Let's do it. Yes, we can. You know what I mean? And so I think fear, and even when you don't think it's fear, there is a level of like, yo, I don't want them to win. Now that obviously I would imagine that changes from person to person. There's obviously like a contingent of people who that doesn't motivate them at all, because really it is like some lizard brain thinking, you know what I'm saying? Me scared, me vote for this person. There is that element to it and shit like that. So, you know, definitely kudos to those who can rise above it. But, you know, I gotta admit, my lizard brain still does come into play when it comes to election seasons and shit like that. So it's like, even when I don't feel motivated or if I'm not excited about something, it's usually a good motivating factor to me personally to think about, damn, well, I definitely don't want those motherfuckers.
Yeah, and I'm starting to assess my own like political leanings and like what, for example, drew me to Bernie Sanders. And Bernie Sanders had like united us against a common enemy, the billionaires. Like, and so it really was also not a fear, but like hatred. Like, yeah,
yeah,
fuck the billionaires. Yeah, that's right, Uncle Bernie. Like, so, I mean, maybe that is more true than like, oh, I like your constructive vision for the society you want to build.
How many progressives were like legit scared of Hillary Clinton? You know, a lot. No, but I mean, I don't mean scared. I don't mean scared as in the literal, like, yo, does she like scare you? But I just mean, like when Bernie, like part of Bernie's rise to prominence is opposition to Hillary Clinton and the establishment that she represented. You know what I mean?
And fighting the establishment.
And we wanted, and that fight came from like, yo, I don't know what these motherfuckers are gonna do. Like you had a bunch of people on the left who really like truly fucking whose brains turned to mashed potatoes for like a good 2 years and were thinking to themselves, gee, I really think Donald Trump is anti-war and Hillary Clinton's gonna go to war. You know what I'm saying? And like they really like, just because of their fear of what they thought Hillary would do, they were like willing to like give Donald Trump the benefit of the doubt on certain shit. So fear is definitely a motivating factor. One side is better at playing on it, but that more so goes because the people who follow that are just more prone to, to following their fears and being guided by their fears and their fear of the unknown, fears of what they don't know, what they don't understand. But you know, I think us on our side, definitely we're susceptible to it.
For sure. I mean, and in this case, I mean, yeah, I would say like there's fear, and then it's really hard as an incumbent generally to like defend your shit when like the world stays bad. I would argue because of capitalism. So like if you're progressive or you're conservative or whatever, if you're a fucking flying monkey and like after 4 years, like shit's not better, ain't nobody gonna care. They don't kick your ass to the curb because shit's not better. Because it's so hard. To, I mean, like I advocate for people to get involved at the local level, but actually, I mean, frankly, there's only so much we could do. But I mean, so in this case, like Cleta Winslow, who got beaten by Jason Dozier, had been in office for 28 years. And if like he ain't really have to even like put forward like a constructive positive message or even stoke fear. All he had to do was go say,
I'm running again.
How are things going? Do you like what's happening? Do you think the city's better? And if you don't, it's like, I like that nigga. Like that's a very nice young man. And so, yeah, I mean, it's just really interesting that all these cats were fucking pro cop. Like Jackie Labatt was the sheriff's wife, the wife of the sheriff of Fulton County, who has been fighting to like keep the Fulton County jail open even after they secured an agreement to like close the Fulton County jail. She was running for city council low key to like to protect her husband's job security as sheriff, you know, and she got her ass kicked. Cleta Winslow, super pro cop, got her ass kicked. We had an episode on Cop City maybe a month or two ago. The lady who was like the author of Cop City and was pushing for that shit, boom, gone. Fuck you, Joy Shepherd, out of here. So it's interesting that like a mixture of these things, the footwork, the fact that shit's not really better, and so like the incumbents just don't stand a chance. Like, here we are. Well, more progressive city council in Atlanta. Oh no, my cat's gonna eat my pizza.
Oh no, go save it. We had roach killings. We got cats eating pizza. What other show? Hear roach killings and cats eating pizza. It's waiting on reparation, bitches.
Look, it had anchovies on it. Why? Like, I don't even blame the little dude.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back Plus, no payments for 90 days. And take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
All right, let me see if I can get some of your, like, analysis on the situation. Is this something that is particular to perhaps the demographics of where some of these candidates were running? Or is it something particular to the time that we're in or the state that Georgia is in politically? Like,
no,
why?
Yes.
Is this something that Democrats, by at large, whether they be neoliberal or whatever, can, like, pay attention to and kind of learn some strategies from things that were done in these Georgia elections to not feel the need to be in the center or to
absolutely
be right?
Absolutely. People want to be like, people want to be like, oh, you know, the South, Georgia's going to go down just like Virginia. Well, motherfucker, I doubt that Virginia has a 95% voter registration rate. 95% of Georgians are now registered to vote.
Thank you, Stacey.
Largely thanks to Stacey Abrams, New Georgia Project, Fair Fight. Well, what's the other one? Yes. Well, New Georgia Project, mostly. And so it's like putting in the footwork to go actually talk to people.
So then you think that's the key then?
That's what makes registered voters. Georgia more, you know, unique among, like, newly blue states. Is that, you know, we put in the footwork to register voters, to engage voters, to, you know, to actually just go talk to people. Like I said, whoever shows up wins. And Democrats have been showing up to, or you know, like, low-key Democratic but nonpartisan organizations have been showing up to, like, get people involved. And so that's the formula. I mean, granted, it's easy to do, like, when in the runoffs last year, you know, or earlier this year, Jesus Christ, for the Senate. Like, you had niggas, it was like $1 billion put into the state,
yes,
to pay people to go knock on doors. We had postcards from Arizona, Milwaukee, New Hampshire, niggas writing like, hey, don't forget to put in your absentee ballot. All this shit. That's a pretty unique fiscal situation. You know what I'm saying? Like, and yeah, not everybody got the bag like that. But we do. We put in the footwork. I think that's it. I think that's, you know, what's happening in the state of Georgia. The playbook that has brought us to this moment, both in Atlanta and, like, I think, like, 48, like, challengers beat incumbents across the state. Warner Robins got their first black female mayor and shit. Like, all over the state, this has been true.
So what are your thoughts on Stacey's announcement?
Bruh, I think we have to do a whole nother fucking episode on this because we've been rambling about Atlanta for a whole, you know, so we may have to come back to this. But I will say that we all saw it coming. We all knew it was going to happen. We knew it. People was late.
We knew it was going to be for something.
I'm not going to lie. I had my poster, my yard sign up on my wall. Fucking took that shit down, put it up in the yard the same night. I was like, let's go. And it's very clear that, you know, she announced because the energy was high among Democrats across the state because we fucking running things, winning things. So she was like, all right, let's go. Let's fucking rock. Y'all think y'all hype now? Let's get hype, baby. So, like, you know, so here we are. She's running for governor.
If she pulls it off, how old is Stacey Abrams, do you know?
Old enough.
Huh? Well, I mean,
old enough.
Well, because I'm thinking of the future because, I mean, yo. If Stacey Abrams is able to pull this shit off, like, after, like, on top of everything that she's already done, if she's able to win and become the next governor of Georgia, I think she'll be president one day.
Oh yeah, she's been said she want to fucking run for president.
Yeah, I just think that's gonna solidify. Like, I think that'll just make it inevitable. I think so.
Yeah. So quick, like, point of order for us, you know, for on the recording, we have been recording for maybe like 50 minutes.
Oh, we have? Okay.
I think we started at like 11:30 or 12:35.
Oh shit. Okay.
Now 1:20. So that's why I said like, oh, we might have to do another episode on this because we just already talked about a ton of shit.
Let's transition into the break and then let's come back and let's listen to one song for a music discussion and close it off.
Okay.
All right. So, So, quick thoughts. You know, we're going to have to do another episode on Stacey Abrams alone. But just generally speaking, you know, with this happening and it's so fresh in our minds, what do you think? Do you think this means anything, affects anything with the midterms or not? Because a poll recently came out that shows Democrats pretty much getting trounced in just about every category, whether you want to talk about these bullshit cultural issues or even down to like the economics and stuff like that. But they're getting hammered.
So, I mean, I think that drawing off of what I've been talking about earlier about footwork, the question is whether or not progressive footwork can overcome like the dissatisfaction among the electorate that, like, other than the child tax credit, which my ass gonna be getting in January with $300 a month, I'm buying some shoes, some Jordans. No, just kidding, I'm buying baby formula. But, you know, that's the only thing that people are gonna feel.
Yeah.
Between now and 2023, like, Build Back Better agenda, roads and bridges and shit, ain't none of that shit coming until 2023, pretty much, 2024. So people haven't seen reaped what has been sown by Biden and his ilk. So people aren't happy. People aren't going to turn out. And also there's the issue of just like the people who are more pissed off generate more mobilization and then they win. It just swings back and forth. In the midterms, the party in power gets their asses whooped. And it's just how it goes. I honestly am just anticipating that. That's just probably what's going to happen.
One thing that might help in the Democrats' favor, I mean, you know, like you said, this is, we're talking about patterns that are political patterns that are set by historical precedent going back like 60 years. So there's an amount of it that's inevitable and shit.
Okay, but, pause. I'm so sorry I gotta do this, but I just found out that the local sheriff's department here in Athens, Georgia, just posted an opening for the communications director, which to me says, I got them shook.
Yeah, they need somebody left.
I don't know when they left. I don't know what happened. Maybe they got tired of dealing with.
Or maybe they didn't have one and now they feel that they do.
Now they feel like they got to. Like, oh, shit.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
She's winning the public narrative. She's winning the battle of hearts and minds. Like, what are we going to do? We can't just kill her, can we?
Got these niggas shook.
So I'm sorry. We got to come back to talking about the midterms.
All right. So there's an amount of that is inevitable. It's going to happen because of those are the patterns and stuff. But we can't overlook the fact that, you know, in a day, 2 days, 3 days, maybe a week, like the Supreme Court very much could overturn Roe v. Wade. And if they do that and these challenges start coming in, those shits are not going to start coming in until around midterms.
Okay.
So if the backdrop of the midterms is like the actual like court struggle about like Roe v. Wade, that could be part of that fear, that motivating factor that we were talking about on the Democrats.
I think to a degree. I mean, to that I will say.
Maybe not game changing, but you know.
Could be game changing. Could also be that low income and like black and brown women have barely been able to get abortions anyway.
That's how I would frame it.
Because it's like, why does this impact me?
Because that's what it is.
Because like, I can't take a day off work to drive to Atlanta to pay $500 to like not have to have a baby. Like, I can't get childcare for my other three kids to go down here and do this. I don't have a car. I can't make it there. So like, abortion's already illegal for like tons of people in a certain sense. Like, abortion is inaccessible to tons of people. So I don't think they're going to be motivated to come out and vote by that, frankly. unfortunately.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
The question again, I'm gonna say it again, like, can the footwork overcome people's dissatisfaction with the Democratic Party right now? So a lot of people, you know, Latasha Brown, CEO of Black Voters Matter, others have talked about feeling like they got thrown under the bus by the Biden administration because they refused to abolish the filibuster and pass voting rights legislation. And they're counting on us to do the footwork to overcome voter suppression. Granted, additional fact of interest is that the turnout in the Atlanta elections that we were just talking about was up, even though they had just passed that voter suppression shit we talked about in episodes a couple months back. So, who knows?
Yo.
I can't believe I'm saying this. Is the voter suppression really that bad?
Well, really, I mean, there.
Or was it something to scare people into coming out to vote more by, like, being real fucking freaked out about it?
I think that sort of view, while valid, I think that downplays the work that Stacey Abrams did, though.
You know, no, not at all.
This has been a project that she's been working on for like 4 or 5 years. You know what I mean? So perhaps she's built it up to where it's kind of, as far as Georgia's concerned, maybe that grassroots effort and the footwork that she put in makes it kind of voter suppression proof.
So that perhaps is an indicator of how this could go in the midterms, is that if the footwork is enough to overcome voter suppression, indeed, then perhaps is the footwork enough to bring a turnout in the midterms in general? Shit.
Y'all niggas better just let these Republicans win, yo. If y'all overcome their voter suppression, they about to bring slavery back for real. Like, it didn't work. Bring out the chains. We can't let these niggas vote.
Thank you. Get out your guns and storm the capitals, all the capitals.
We tried to make the lines 8 hours long and they still came out and voted. God damn it. Jim Crow's coming back.
Yeah.
All right. That's what we got for today. Next week we are
going... Do you have
a
song?
Yeah. When we come back from the break, we're going to have a music discussion. But just before we get into that, when we come back next week, we are going to be doing our episode on Dick Gregory. Going to be kind of a deep dive into the life of Dick Gregory, life and times. Talk about his activism, his career, his meaning, his impact in American culture and just Black culture in general. Well, we're going to be back. Since we're talking about Georgia elections, we are going to talk about a Georgia song when we come back. So we'll be back with that after the jump.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that three-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
You gotta say that again. I coughed. You gotta say that again. I coughed.
Okay. Let it out.
I'm good.
Get it out. You sure? You got it?
What are you doing?
You got it all?
You're giving me strong Jim Carrey vibes right now to put, like, the faces and, like, the sounds. Anyway, welcome back to Waiting on Reparations. I'm waiting on seeing the doctor because I'm coughing a great deal.
All right. So, like I said before we got in the break, we're talking about the Georgia election. So I wanted to talk about a Georgia song from back in the day. I posted up that link. You see that? This is... So this is a track by Ludacris featuring Field Mob and Jamie Foxx. It is called Georgia. Y'all remember this shit? This is like 2006. You know what I'm saying? Like, some of y'all's clothes was way too baggy. You remember, you know what it was.
Well, I rest my Georgia bones. Come anywhere on my land and I'll aim at your Georgia dome.
Oh, remember this, and then it's got the sample, right?
Yeah, the Ray Charles sample. Ray Charles sample. Because
y'all
can't
see it.
This is back when Jamie Foxx played Ray Charles in the Ray movie. So, like, of course they had the Ray Charles sample. They got Jamie Foxx to actually sing it instead of sampling Ray Foxx.
Y'all can't see it, but Ray, I got Charles, my shoulder shaking, got my bows going.
Ludacris is Georgia. You know, Ludacris was one of the artists that I always felt like rep super hard for Georgia and just the city of Atlanta in general. I don't know if you remember, he had another one back in 2002 called Welcome to Atlanta. It had Jermaine Dupri on it and Nelly.
Nigga, if you pull up to the Atlanta airport, they got a big ass, like, glowing banner, like electronic banner. When you're coming up the escalator, it's got Ludacris' face on it. It's like, Welcome to Atlanta.
Yeah.
Dead ass.
So what do you think about it? What do you think about that?
I think it's beautiful. I think I love the particularities. I love that they're like, yo, I'm out down in Albany. I'm rapping for the Yellow Jackets at Georgia Tech.
Yep.
It's good. Eating current turn up greens and collard greens and, you know, go dogs. Like, it's cute. It's cute.
I like the cultural, you know, like, signs. You know what I mean? You ever disrespect, clean out your dirty mouth, something the dirty sound like.
That's cute.
Yeah, all that shit is dope, man. I mean, I like it. You know, hip hop, I think, is always at its best when it's got that personal vibe to it. And there's nothing more personal when you're rapping than either talking about your family or the city that you're from. You know what I'm saying? It's like usually if you're dealing with good MCs, there's always going to be like a sort of personal touch that somebody's going to be able to put on that hometown song, you know what I mean, to make it unique to them. So I feel like this track, everybody kind of went in on it with their style, but the subject matter, everyone having the same topic of what they were talking about and it being something that's so personal to everyone, you know, like as far as where they're from. Man, this shit still bumps today.
This is up there with North Carolina by PewDiePie.
Yeah, exactly.
Great anthems for a state.
Yeah, no, 100%. Or like even if you want to get something a little bit more poppy, like New York State of Mind or Empire State of Mind with Jay-Z and shit.
Right,
like that.
Very different, you know, than New York State of Mind.
Very different.
So, whereas, but, like, one is like the grimy realness, the other one's like paid for by the New York Tourism Bureau.
I forget if it was you or if it was me, but one of us made the point that it was like, Empire State of Mind is kind of like, that's the song that you use in like the official city of New York,
like
commercial or ad or something like that.
Square getting blown by like
exactly
Elmo in the little Elmo costume outside the Eminem store.
I don't mean this in a negative way, but I feel like that the Georgia song, the Ludacris Georgia song that we just listened to, is that same sort of way. Like, it feels like if you had like cool people on city council, or you know what I mean, or a cool mayor, they'd be like, yo, let's use that for the Welcome to Georgia commercial. Let's use that song. I like that.
Yeah. You know? For sure.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is all we got. We have to go, but we are going to be back next week. Obviously, we got a dope one for you. So thank you guys. Like, subscribe, leave a comment.
Yeah, do some reviews. Follow us on social media, iHeartReparations on Instagram. Hit us up, hit the DMs, hit the comments. Let us know what you're thinking.
Yeah, if you guys ask questions, we'll answer them. You know what I mean? So my name is Dope Knife.
I'm still extremely tired.
But we are going to try to rap for you, or at least muster up a bar or two.
I got bars. I got bars. What's up?
Hey, Joel, drop a beat for us. Yeah. Dope. Yo. Hey, yo, I know that you're stressing. Lord, what a blessing. We always keep winning like them Georgia progressives. Motherfuckers checking, they ain't know with my methods. Now I gotta hit them cause I'm cold and I'm reckless. First on my checklist, give them scary slander. Fucking with the knife, that'll get you gerrymandered. And I'm very mannered. Hate on me, make a weak rapper cry like the AOC. Want a piece of your pie, so I ate all three. Put bleach in your eye, you okay, homie? Dope.
Okay, look, I'm quite excited by this lady named Stacy, but lately I've acquired her taste for haterade. Frankly, a thin campaign is thankless. A canvas and foam bank. And I'd appreciate some policies of partial compensation. For example, hope shall overturn the right to work, because our bosses are quite the jerks and unionizing how we fight the crooks. Secondly, and especially, if they won't reschedule leave federally, then let us be the ones to legalize and put the taxes back in the hands of the cats they backed up for selling a sack of cannabis back when the plant was banned. And a couple other things that I can't remember, but I think you understand.
Hey, I'm Dope Knife.
I'm Lingua Franca.
And we are waiting on reparations.
See you next week.
Peace.
Listen to Waiting on Reparations on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait, did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.